This is Tom Suttis. Welcome to another wonderful 4-Impact training module, if you will. This is a pretty important one on qualified prospects. I want to remind you of the roadmap and where you are and what you've looked at. I'm actually going to skip down just for a second because I want to set the tone and the overview. A case rationale for support, which is the first big component in our roadmap, is really the why and the what you're selling. The second piece is called presentation design, and that's really how you sell. But the third part of our prep, if you will, and the third big component is qualified prospects. Who are you selling to? We might know why we're selling and what we're selling and how we're going to sell it, but obviously if we don't know who we're selling to, we've got a little bit of a challenge. In fact, in many ways, I think this whole idea of prospects, finding new prospects, that's the big question. It's the biggest issue, the biggest challenge, the biggest problem, one of the biggest priorities of every organization with whom we work. And it's also a big problem outside of our world, the third sector. It's true of any business, any sales organization. Who are our best prospects? Now, many of you have asked me very directly and asked Nick the same thing. How do we find new prospects? And I'm going to pose to you that's your big question, but it's the wrong question. The real question is, how do we find our best, and parenthetically, most qualified prospects, our best prospects? How do we identify them? How do we prioritize them, and how do we strategize them? Those are the three big pieces of this module. I want to go back just for a second and share with you, we've put a lot of work. I mean, I have, and Nick has gone through this. We've actually built for you a guidebook, a 4-Impact guidebook on qualified prospects. It's got some really good stuff in it. It's probably 60 or 70 pages of information. You can download it as a PDF. You can get it on the site. You can do it through your training. I just want to give you an overview today, but I also want to share with you the warning, the big warning at the beginning of the guidebook. The warning says, if you're not going to go out and make visits, if you're not going to go out and present opportunities to people, if you're not going to go meet with your best 33 prospects, if we can help you identify them and help you rate them and help you strategize them, if you're not going to go make that visit, then this really is a waste of time and energy on your part. So my encouragement, my motivation, if you will, is work with me on this. Let's figure out who you should go see and who you should go sell and who you should go present to. But you need to go do it. Let's commit to doing that. You know how it fits into the big picture. When I say it's the wrong question to ask where do we find new prospects, I'm going to share just three really quick stories with you. Because really this comes down to your own backyard. Too many of you are saying our current donors, our current prospects are tired of giving. Okay? Well, you know what they're really saying to you? They're tired of being the only people giving. I don't think it's about new prospects. I do agree with the idea that we should be broadening the base of support. But it's still going to be at the top of that proverbial pyramid. So I'm going to encourage you to get out with your best prospects, which basically are already in your own backyard. They're already people that want to help you. They're people that are already, quote, sold. We just need to get out there and make that presentation with them. The three stories are around gold, diamonds, and oil. Gold is around the 1849 gold rush, if you will, where good old William Sutter, Colonel Sutter, went out. Somebody sold their ranch to Colonel Sutter to go look for wealth somewhere in the world, and Sutter ended up finding a huge gold mine on that property and created the California Gold Rush. Some Persian farmer did the same thing, sold his land, went to look around the world for wealth. You'll get the thread in this story. Went to look around the world for wealth, and the person who bought his little farm in Persia was actually taking his camel up. Camel bent down into the stream to take a drink. Guy looks down and all of a sudden he finds a diamond. That actually became the diamond mines of Golconda or something like that, okay? And the third is that the same kind of person, that farmer, this time in Pennsylvania, in the United States, really wanted his wealth, actually probably sold his farms to go to California to look for gold. Well, he sold his farm to somebody who ended up discovering oil on that farm. He sold the farm for $833. Okay? And the person who bought it ended up creating one of the largest oil fields, which ultimately became, I think, Standard Oil with Rockefeller. So listen, there's a point to those three stories there. They're all about somebody who thought they needed to go other places to find wealth, to go get rich. And yet, right there in their own yards, I mean literally in their yards, on their farms, on their ranches, you know, whatever, the wealth was right there. Big point behind this, though, is your best prospects are your current champions. Your best prospects are your current top givers. Your best prospects are those people who are most interested in your cause or your case. And I'm going to give you some ideas that might help you around that, but just as a big time reminder, all three of those stories, by the way, came from one of the best books ever written. I think it was 1921 or something by a guy named Russell Conyers, wrote Acres of Diamonds. And his whole point of the book, and I think he went and gave that presentation, Acres of Diamonds, 5,000 times he gave that presentation. And the whole idea was stop worrying and thinking that all of your stuff, the grass is greener on the other side of the hill, and every other cliche you've ever heard. You know, things are right in front of you, you got to make do with those. And that's especially true with those three stories. So I'm going to encourage you to get out there and find your best prospects. I'm just going to help you figure out where to look. Okay? Here's what I'm going to do with you, though. I want to talk about 10. I'm actually sit for a second. I'm going to talk about 10 barrier-busting ideas, 10 different ways. Now, this is all in here. You can all read it. I'm not going to read it to you. But I do want to touch on these ideas because I think they're of real value to you. And I'm going to add a little storyline to this as opposed to the words. The first big barrier-busting idea says relationships. No more transactions. It's all about relationships. Well, your goal as in the development world, in the funding world, is to fund the vision, but your goal is to maximize relationships at this given moment. Why is that a barrier-busting idea for prospecting? Because you need to think about who are your best relationships. Who are the people that you've got that best relationship with? And let's go sit down and visit with them. I'm going to throw in here as a very important note. I just was, in setting this all up today, I was just reminded how many times over all these years, 30, 35 years now, how many times I've been engaged and involved with going back to a lead investor, to somebody who stepped up early in a campaign as a report, and went back to them and said, look, here's where we are. My very, very first campaign was a Catholic high school in Chicago, Fenwick High School. We went back to one of the lead transformational givers to share with this couple where we were and what they had done in the library, and it was incredible. We just brought them up to date. At the end, they said, well, what else do you need? And I was kind of taken aback. It was like, well, what do you mean? Well, what else can we do? I said, well, we're still, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars short on this library project, but we didn't come here today to do that. So it's okay. We'll be glad to give you that $200,000. That was 1983 or 84, a lot of years later. That's probably happened 100 times if it's happened once. So please don't think that just because somebody has stepped up for you and given that they've given you their last dollar. I just did that last week, 25 years later, with a college who has this incredible lead gift from a couple who've now said, look, that was not our last gift. You all need to be aware of that. We want you to do well with it, and then we want you to come back. They asked us to make sure that we were coming back. So let's talk about relationships as who are our best people to go see. The second barrier-busting idea is around visits. If the whole idea, if the goal, the end game, if you will, is to make visits, then let's find great prospects that we're going to make visits with. And keep that in mind when you're looking through this. Is this somebody we're talking about that wants to be with us, that would like to accept a visit? Do we need to do some work there? The third is Brian Tracy's great line. This is all in the module for you, but I just want you to hear it. I want you to see me this, because here's the great third barrier-busting idea. It's brilliant, as they say in Ireland. It's brilliant. Spend more time with better prospects. That's the brilliance. Brian Tracy, one of the best sales trainers in the world, comes down to simply saying, if you really believe in sales, then you need to spend more time with better prospects. So finding more time to spend with them is one thing. Finding better prospects is another, and we're going to talk about that. Fourth barrier busting idea is 97.3. Whether you can see this or not, but actually I'll just flip. I might even have some of these ideas down here for you, it's just so you can look at this. So relationships, visits, more time with better prospects, 97.3. The whole idea is spending time at the top of the pyramid. Now, here's the issue. Remember, that's 97% of our dollars are going to come 3% of our constituency. What we need to do is we need to figure out who are those 3%. And I'm going to challenge you right now at this point and again later. Who are those? That 3% is one issue. Who are our best 33 prospects? Just did that with the president and vice president of an incredible university, okay, last week. Where the university, we have thousands of prospects with this university, thousands literally, wealth screened and rated and everything. And we finally got everybody together and we have a list now of our best 33 prospects. Those are the best. Some people have already given to the campaign, some haven't. Some have made huge legacy gifts and no cash gifts. Others have not given a dime, but they're alumni that we know have the capacity. When you look at our best 33, the vice president now knows he's got those relationships, okay? He's the relationship manager for probably 30 of those 33, and he has $100 million of gifts sitting with those 33 prospects. You may be a much smaller 4-Impact organization right now, and your best 33 might be worth $1 million. That's still $1 million. So how do we find those people? How do we do? I want to remind you, though, of that rule. It's axiomatic. So really, it's not about finding hundreds or thousands of prospects. It's finding the 3% and finding the best 33 to start. Let's make that happen. Because that's about return on investment. Okay? Just the reminder here is the whole idea of sales and major gifts is ROI. The best return, but the least cost for the most amount of money is major gifts. Sales, high-end sales. Those 33 people. That's an incredible return on investment. It's also the sixth barrier busting idea. It's also an incredible return on energy. The time and energy to go ask somebody for $1 million is the exact time and energy that you need to ask somebody for $10,000. You make that call, right? So it's all these are tied together as great ideas to get out there and really bust through this when it comes to prospects and prospecting. Might take just a second so you can see these again. All of this is listed in your training module. But number 7 is about call reluctance, however you spell it. Call reluctance. Why aren't we out there making calls? Remember, there's only 3 reasons that you're not out making visits right now. This seems a little high level. We're like, why are we not doing this and not talking about prospects? I want to learn how to identify. I want to learn how to prioritize. I want to learn how to strategize prospects. Here's why. Because all that is irrelevant. Again, if you're not going to go out and make the visits, and it's irrelevant if we do all this work and that sits in a list, which it's doing right now in hundreds, if not thousands, of nonprofit organizations who might have their prospect list, but they're not making any visits. So before you go another minute further, commit again and again and again to going out and making visits with this. It's not about call reluctance. It's not about you. You need to get out there. Number one, if you believe in your product, your institution, your organization, then you need to go make something happen. If you don't believe, you need to get out of your institution, right? Number 2 is you've got to believe that you're with a qualified prospect. That's what this is all about. If I can show you how you can be with a qualified prospect, then you should feel really good. You shouldn't be reluctant to go out. You should be excited to go out. It's the most fun you can have in this business is sitting down with qualified prospects and making that visit. The third reason you might not be out there is because you're not prepared to sell. That's a whole nother training module and everything else on preparation. We're going to keep working on prospects today. Remember, okay, I'll even do that for you again just so you can see. Belief. Okay, do you believe in what you're doing? Do you believe in your cause? Do you believe in who you are? Do you also believe you're with a qualified prospect? And then, are you prepared? If you're those three things, if you can do this, you shouldn't have, quote, call reluctance. You should be out there making visits, and you should be out there making something happen. Here's another idea, I guess, around, I use green for this one. Here's the eighth barrier busting idea. It's basically this whole concept of the million-dollar investor, okay? The million-dollar investor. You talk about barrier busting. Let's talk for a minute, no matter what size your organization, are you prepared to go make a million-dollar presentation? Are you prepared to make a million-dollar ask? My good friend Frank Sullivan, it's so funny when I think about him. He's an incredible guy, but he told me earlier, he's probably one of the best life insurance salesmen in the world, if not the best life insurance salesman in the world. Frank said to me, it's just as easy to sell a $1 million policy to a qualified prospect. Those are the words he used. Qualified prospect, than it is to sell a $10,000 policy to your relatives. Think about that. So if we can get with qualified prospects, why aren't we getting $1 million right now? Because we're not asking for $1 million. Why aren't we asking for $1 million? Because I'm not sure we believe we have prospects that. We need to find those prospects and we need to make it happen. There's a couple more barrier busting ideas in here that I'm not going to go through with you. But I want to talk about for a second this whole idea of what really is a qualified prospect. Remember, we're still in the overview. So, and we're getting a little long and a little deep with those barrier busting ideas. But let's talk for a second about what really is a qualified prospect. There are two huge components of those, and I'm going to do them in blue and green. If you're a 4-impact believer, if you've been on any of the modules, if you've seen our point of view, you'll understand these two colors very clearly. What makes a qualified prospect, okay, is green capacity, okay, and blue relationship. That's it. That's what defines a qualified prospect. There are other things which you can get on the site. We have our own qualified prospect index, talks about four other criterion that will help you separate to create your master prospect list. But these are the two major areas that you need for a qualified prospect. This actually is first, capacity. You can have the nicest and best people in the world. They're parents, they love your school, they're survivors of cancer. They would do anything for you because you're in that whole idea of helping kids, helping prevent cancer in kids. They do anything, but they don't have capacity. You want people who have wealth, who have money, who have the ability to make an investment in your organization. Then you would love for them to have a relationship with either one of these two things, with the cause, okay? The cause or the case. The cause might be kids. The cause might be cancer. The cause might be domestic violence. It might be homelessness. That's the cause. The case is you, your organization. This is a problem. Okay? You are the solution. Don't worry about reading that. Just listen for a second. If you can get the relationship with either the cause or the case, this is a great prospect for you. So the definition for our sake right now is what makes up a great qualified prospect. We need to make sure they have capacity, and then we need to talk about their relationship. If they are an alum of your institution, if you're a school watching this, and they're an alumnus or a parent, they have a relationship with your case and your cause. I don't care if you've never met them. I don't care if nobody's ever met with them. It's not about their relationship with you. It's about their relationship with the institution and the organization. Okay? It's not about how much money they've given. That's a capacity issue. It's because you haven't asked. What it is about is if they're an alum or a parent, then they have a relationship and you need to go out and maximize that relationship at this given moment. Now next I'm going to go into the actual process. So we'll take a little break here. I want you to digest this overview. And then I want to talk to you about the process of three things. Identify, prioritize, strategize.